Blog Talk Radio.
Happy March for HDSA, everyone. This is Melissa Bilardi, your host on Help for HD. This is March for HDSA Month. Each Monday in March, we will bring you extraordinary information about the Huntington's Disease Society of America and what they are providing to our HD community. First, let's give thanks to Lundbeck, Inc. for bringing Eszenazine, the first FDA-approved drug for chorea associated with Huntington's disease, and for supporting Help for HD. Thanks to my producer, BJ, who is queuing in calls for us right now from Minnesota, and thank you, our 4,800 listeners already. Wow. Without you, we wouldn't have a show, so thank you. Please call in to ask questions on two phone lines, 310-982-4227, and our toll-free is 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1, and BJ will cue you into the show. Please tell all your friends and family about the show and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming shows. Our incredible special guest tonight is Deborah Lovecki. She is Director of Education Programs and Services with Huntington's Disease Society of America. She's in New York. She is the first person I connected with when I wanted to find out how to go about organizing a symposium in an undeveloped area. We are going to find out what's new and happening at HDSA. Welcome to the show, Deborah. How are you tonight?
Fine, and thank you so much for that introduction, Melissa. That was very nice.
Great. Well, how long have you been with HDSA?
I joined HDSA in 1999, so this is my 13th year. I hope it's a lucky year.
Oh, boy.
With the organization. And I started out as a director of communications, marketing, and education. And over the years, it's morphed into director of program services and advocacy. And my concentration now is more on resource development of resources and referrals and education, as well as programs and services for the HD community.
Wow, you've seen some growth then.
Yes, I absolutely have. One of my first assignments at HDSA was to create the national website. And it's gone through metamorphosis now and has gotten better with each incarnation, but I was tasked with producing and creating the very first one. So that was my very first assignment here.
Incredible. Well, let's talk about HDSA National Convention. That's a biggie.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be June 24th through 26th. In Bloomington, Minnesota, which is just outside scenic Minneapolis. We have 2 days of really action-packed workshops, plenary sessions, and special activities for people with Huntington's disease, as well as their caregivers, people living at risk, children with juvenile Huntington's disease, the parents, and youth ages, 9 through 29. So we're very excited about the program, and we encourage everybody who possibly can to attend the convention, because not only is it a great educational opportunity, but it's also a great socializing and sharing and networking opportunity. Now, so many times people with Huntington's disease and their families feel like they're living in isolation. They're the only ones that know about HD. They're the only ones dealing with HD in their small town. When they come to convention, they meet 1,000 other people who may be facing the very same challenges they are, and by talking with them, they find solutions. They're outside of the workshops, and they get to feel like they're part of a community, and they feel very connected, and they leave feeling not just empowered by what they learned, but also empowered by knowing that there are other people out there who share exactly what they're going through in this moment in time.
I bet they come away with some lifelong friends, too.
Yes, they do, and sometimes it may be the only impetus for them to come back to another convention, because they just so enjoyed the networking aspect, and they feel, well, I'll go to the workshops too, but I really enjoyed meeting all those people.
Oh, man, I would love to go, but my son just can't travel, unfortunately. Well, how do you organize a convention? What goes into that?
Each year the core of the program planning committee for the convention is really the education subcommittee of our center programs and education advisory committee, which oversees the Center of Excellence program. And to that, we then add a number of people from the host area of where we're going to go for the convention. So this year we were able to add clinicians as well as members from the Minnesota chapter. We reached out to some long-term care facilities that have special HD wings to get them on board, because they have some very special services that are unique that they could, you know, do as workshops to kind of encourage thought and ideas for other areas. And we also have a couple of family members, as well as some youth on it. And I'm sorry if I'm calling, you know, a teenager a youth, but you know, they're younger than I am. So we have people who are between 9 and 29 on the committee to really help us to develop the workshop tracks. This year, I think we have 9 different tracks that we're offering. And people can move from track to track. It's not you have to stay within one educational track. So we have something for people living at risk. We have a track for people who are attending the very first convention and have no idea what they're going to experience. We have a track for caregivers. We have one for people who are living with Huntington's disease, early stage and mid stage. And then we have one for parents of children with juvenile HD. And then we have a track for youth 9 to 12, one for teens 13 through 19, one for young adults, 20 through 29, and then a track for everybody, as well as one for field leadership. So it's I think altogether it's something like 50 different workshops that are going
like you're including everyone there.
So there's something for everybody. And if you can't find something, then, you know, you got to come to me because I'll show you where you should be going.
You'll point us in the right direction, huh?
Absolutely. In addition,
it sounds like something that's ongoing all year long that you're organizing for.
It is. And we hope that when people leave the convention, they feel that they got what they came for out of it. It's really important that people leave, as I said earlier, feeling really educated, empowered, and re-energized to go back to their daily life.
Right. Now, I heard through the grapevine that you might be offering some scholarships to attend.
That's correct. There are actually 3 different scholarship programs, and though I am not in charge of the scholarships, we can tell you that there is a group of funds available for people who live in Minnesota. And so if you want to get information about those, you can. I have an email address, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N-V, as in Victor, 23, at yahoo.com. We're also offering scholarships through the National Youth Alliance. And there is a scholarship process for that. And to learn more about it, you can contact Manelli Perez here at the national office. And her email is MP as in Paul, EREZ as in EZ at HDSA.org. And I was just given a piece of paper to clarify that on the first set of scholarships for where I said Minnesota, it's not just for Minnesota, it's for the upper Midwest region, so all those surrounding states as well. And the final program is national, and it's supported by a grant from Lundbeck. And for those scholarships, you can go to the HDSA national website at www.hdsa.org, and it'll be an application online that you can complete. If you have any questions, you can send your questions to Robert Coffey here at HDSA. His email address is coffeyr at hdsa.org. So those are the three opportunities to get all or parts of your travel to Bloomington supported.
Wow. So it's nationwide, not just certain chapters then.
That's correct. The Lundbeck the money that we received from Lundbeck is national. And actually, with the help of the money from for the upper Midwest region, as well as the NYA, really we want to reach out to as many families and people with Huntington's disease as possible this year. So we have a really tremendously big convention.
That is great to know, because I know a lot, a lot of people with this disease in their family, their finances are very strapped, and it's very difficult to travel in many ways, in not just the finances, but in other ways as well. So, you know, having their financial situation helped along, that gives a lot more incentive to meet, to come together.
That's absolutely correct. But I also did want to just mention that this year HDSA will be videoing, again, the two plenary sessions that we offer on Friday and Saturday morning. The one on Friday is basically focused on care, and this year we're doing healthy eating for the HD family. And on Saturday, it's our traditional research forum. So those are going to be available for viewing on the national website probably a couple of weeks after convention, because we want to edit them and kind of, you know, make them look better than the raw stuff. And then we also do offer the PowerPoint presentations that the presenters gave during their workshops on the national website as well. So, you know, if somebody is unable to actually get to convention, a lot of the information that is being presented can be viewed online at on the national website. You can download the PowerPoint presentations from the convention workshops to use as a reference. So, you know, we really are trying to extend for those who truly can't come to convention ways that they still can participate and benefit from the workshops and education.
Right. Do you have any live streaming or anything like that of any of your programs at convention?
Not currently. We're looking into it. We found that right now we're looking at the videotaping to see how that goes. We did it last year and it was well received, and so we're trying to expand on that this year.
That's great. Now, is there a syllabus or a program of events that you publish with the registration?
Actually, we have a draft of the convention program online. We're hoping to get a much more detailed program that has all of our special convention activities included in it up within the next 10 days. But this one gives you really the tracks, the workshops, and the speakers that have confirmed, their names will appear. If there's a workshop that doesn't have a speaker, it's just because the speaker hasn't gotten back to us yet.
Right.
So that gives you an idea of what we're offering. And then, as I said, in about 10 days, we're going to have a really, really more detailed agenda with all of the, you know, what's going on in the Reflections of Hope meditation room, and who's doing author signings, and when are we going to do them, and what kind of special activities are there for people. And we hope to have a schedule for the HDSA Activity Center available as well. We're offering that again to people who have Huntington's disease, or all kinds of arts and crafts and yoga and Tai Chi. We're going to do music therapy, and we have a very excited group of volunteers from a couple of the long-term care facilities, as well as a center of excellence in Minnesota, who are donating their time to, you know, do all these activities with people who have Huntington's disease. So we really encourage people who are bringing a loved one to convention to drop them off for an hour or 5 hours in the activity center.
That's great. Now, are you going to have an award ceremony or anything like that?
Yes, we actually are splitting it up. On Friday, we're going to be doing chapter awards during our official convention reception, so that they get a little more time to recognize all those great volunteers from the chapters. And then on Saturday evening, we'll be doing the national awards as part of the gala, and really highlighting the national award winners on that night. So it's kind of like a little more attention to both the chapter awards and the national awards, rather than trying to put them all together and get it all done on one night. So we really think it's a great move.
Oh, that's exciting. That's great. Okay, let's talk a little bit real quick about some education component of your work that you do. You have lay and professional education programs, CME web-based course for physicians, annual professional training for social workers. How do you do all that?
We're a small but hearty band. Basically, we really want to educate our healthcare community about Huntington's disease. I know that families struggle to find primary care providers and even neurologists that know anything about Huntington's disease outside of large metropolitan areas. So one of our goals this year is to create a web-based continuing medical education course for those kinds of healthcare providers, so that we can encourage, we can teach them and educate them about Huntington's disease in terms of the triad of symptoms, the use of the multidisciplinary team, the genetics of Huntington's disease, really from soup to nuts. You know, what is Huntington's disease and how can you best serve the families that you are seeing your practice? So we're hoping to launch that in the summertime. Part of the funding is coming from a grant from Lundbeck, and part is coming from a grant from the Griffin Foundation. We're really, really grateful for both of those. And we're very excited. We did a kind of face-to-face CME event down in Washington last year as kind of a test run, and it was really, really well received, but it was limited to the number of people that you could attend. So this is much broader.
And this will be for CME credits?
Yes, there'll be about 10 to 12 CME credits awarded, one per module.
And for physicians only, or will there be other medical professionals?
There is special certification for neurologists. There's special certification for family practitioners. There's special certification for primary care providers. And there's special certification for movement disorder specialists. So those are the four areas that we're looking at, because those, I think, are the ones that where we're lacking the expertise in caring for people with HD.
That's going to help with developing new areas, too, new regions and new chapters.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's
more important. It's going to help the families to get the kind of quality medical care that they need without necessarily having to drive 2 or 3 hours to get to a center of excellence. We're really trying to look at the underserved areas and offer at least some medical expertise in those areas as we build our network.
Beautiful. Okay, let me break in here real quick. Believe it or not, it's 15 minutes already through the show. You're listening to Help for HD. This is March for HDSA all month. I'm Melissa, your host, and our incredible special guest tonight is Deborah Lovecki, Director of Education Programs and Services. Our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103 is our toll-free. We are streaming live and recording for later listening. You may reach You may reach Deborah at 800-345-HDSA and or the website www.hdsa.org. And let's talk a little bit about advocacy. We have some exciting news. And I'd also like to introduce Jane Cogan. How are you, Jane?
I'm good. Thank you for having you, Melissa.
Yeah, and you're the manager of advocacy programs and services at HDSA?
That's right. I wear a few different hats here, and I love them all.
Great. Well, you have some exciting news about what's happening with advocacy, so tell us what's going on.
I do have some really, really breaking news that we emailed our advocates about this morning. This past Friday, March 11th, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand just sent around a Dear Colleague letter announcing to her colleagues in the Senate that she will be introducing a Senate companion to the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. So we have until Wednesday to get our members of the Senate to be original co-sponsors on this legislation.
That is exciting. Now, what does that mean? What is Bill H.R. 718?
H.R. 718 is the new bill number for the Huntington's Disease Parity Act, which in the House, which before was known as H.R. 678.
Okay, got it now.
That's right. So when we get a Senate bill number, it will have an S before it with a new bill. As soon as it happens, I will let advocates know right now, if you're not getting information from me, please sign up to be an e-advocate. Just go to www.hdsa.org/join to join HDSA's advocacy movement so that we can tell you when something exciting is happening and when we need all of our advocates to speak up for Huntington's disease.
We'd really like to encourage our advocates to, you know, between now and Wednesday to contact their senators, each one has two per state, and urge them to be an original co-sponsor to this companion bill. They can call it the Kirsten Gillibrand bill, and that will then give their senators kind of a heads up as to which bill they're referring to, because the Huntington's Disease Parity Act doesn't exactly roll off your tongue. So if they just say it's a Kirsten Gillibrand bill for Huntington's disease, then the senator's legislative staff can look up the bill and then give the senator the particulars about signing on. So we really would love to be able to announce that, you know, there are X number of co-sponsors in addition to Senator Gillibrand when it's introduced on the floor of the Senate sometime within the next, we hope, 10 days.
Okay. Now, to our listeners out there, it's very easy to go to that on your website, hdsa.org. There is a place that you can just click on a link, and it takes you right to your own representatives. Is that correct, Jane?
That's right. If you go to www.hdsa.org/takeaction, it will take you to our e-advocacy center, where with one click of a mouse, you can personalize a letter to your members of Congress.
And it's quick. It's fast. It takes maybe a minute to do this, people. So let's, and Jane, tell us why it's so important to be an advocate.
It's really important for people to speak up about Huntington's disease because we're a small community, and it's so every single one of us needs to really participate. And members of Congress really do listen to what their constituents have to say. And, you know, when we meet with Congress, we get told all the time that, you know, this is important, but unless I hear from one of my voters, I'm not going to do anything. So unless your members of Congress hear from you that Huntington's disease legislation is important to you, they won't know that.
Right. Right. Important. So let's speak up, guys. Important stuff. Well, okay, let's talk about the physician's guide. Now, I had it down on my list of things to talk to you, but you said it's in revision, and this is an
yes.
online publication?
The physician's guide. Yeah, the physician's guide was last updated in 1999. So we've been working on a third edition, and it is going to be printed because we want to be able to provide a complimentary copy to every doctor that sees a person with Huntington's disease. And it will also be available online for anybody who would prefer to use it that way. But we hope that we're going to be able to launch it the first week of April. We're very pleased to note that Lundbeck gave us funding to help to support both the revision and the printing of this really valuable resource. I hear from families all the time that they're still using the 1999 edition, even though it's really incredibly outdated. Right. So we really want to capture as many of these, you know, docs as we can, because not only will they get a valuable resource in their hands, but we'll be able to add their name to the national database. So when somebody moves to a new area or is new to HD, goes on the national website and looks for, you know, a primary care provider who knows something about HD, you know, we're going to have, you know, hundreds of doctors listed if this program works the way I'm envisioning it to. So it's going to be a tremendous resource. And as soon as it's launched, we're going to let people know how, you know, they can get a complimentary copy to their doctor.
Oh, that's perfect. I've done that with my son's primary doctor, but, you know, that's also going to help all of our physicians that are in the areas not connected with centers of excellence, and those doctors that don't really know all that much about it. Maybe they studied in medical school, but they don't know all the particulars. So that is really a very important tool for all of our families to have.
Yes, it is, and we're really looking forward to its launch, and it really is meant, as you said, for the provider who sees one or two patients maybe a year, is in maybe not a metropolitan area, isn't close to a center of excellence, and maybe just got a new HD person with HD, and they know nothing about the disease. As you said, they last looked at it in medical school. So it's a tremendous resource.
And you have other online publications as well.
Almost everything that we have ever published is available online, past issues of Marker Magazine, past issues of Tour to Cure, our research update, the support group newsletter, We Are HDSA, our family guide series, our professional series, the physician's guide, understanding behavior, a caregiver's handbook to, you know, long-term care, juvenile HD resources. We have four or five different pieces in our library for juvenile onset HD. Really, we invite you to scroll through the publication list. We offer usually a free copy, one free copy to people of most of our publications. The rest have a very modest charge for them if they're not available free. And as I said, they're all available online, so you can read them online instead of, you know, in print.
Now, I had, you know, Judy Robertson?
Yes.
From Northern California. When I first started with working with the support group and putting the symposium together and the CME lecture and that kind of thing, she sent me a package with all of these publications, and it was just wonderful that she did that for me because I had nothing to work with, you know. And then when we did our family day in the park, I contacted you guys at National, and you sent me so many wonderful tools to use, you know, promo items to hand out and to really promote HD awareness. It was just wonderful. You guys are so supportful and supportive. I really appreciate everything that you're doing for us. Now, speaking of that, let's talk about Caregiver's Corner, because that is a big one for me. I've listened to the webinars, and they're just amazing. So let's talk about that a little bit. When did you start your first webinar?
Our very first webcast was, I think it was November of 2009. And the idea, we got funding for a very short series through Lundbeck, and we launched it. And the reception was incredible. And so we've been working towards trying to make it every single month in this, you know, this year. And Jane has done a tremendous job in lining up webinars months in advance so that we can announce who's going to be appearing, you know, 2 or 3 months in advance so that people can mark their calendar. So, you know, kudos to Jane for a really well done job.
Awesome. So what do we have coming up on new webinars coming up?
Well, next Wednesday, March 23rd, on Wednesday, March 23rd, we have Sue Imbriglio, who's going to be speaking about physical and occupational therapy for Huntington's disease. Then on April 27th, we are welcoming back Drew Yenikis for the third of his Disability Strategies webinars. Drew will be covering denials and appeals. On May 17th, I will be presenting on advocacy as a part of what we're doing for HD Awareness Month. We're doing an entire May for HD Parity campaign. And all of these webinars are going to be at noon Eastern, so that hopefully...
Very good. And recorded, and they run about an hour, is that right?
That's right. They all are recorded if you missed it and want to view it again. And they all do run about an hour with, it's 45 minutes, and there's a 15-minute question and answer session at the end.
It's really well done, and kudos to you, because that's really important information to get out to everybody. And I think if we can just drive everybody to your website, hdsa.org, there's just a wealth of information there, and it changes rapidly, so, you know, don't just go there once and think you've covered it, because I've noticed that you guys change the website or add more information to it almost daily. Is that correct?
That is correct. It actually is a work in progress.
It's amazing. It surprises me. Every time I go there, there's new stuff to look at, so it's a wonderful resource. Well, let's talk about burden of cure surveys. I didn't know what that was. And is that related to the webinars, or is that another topic?
No, it's another effort, actually, that we're doing. We're working with the European HD Network to gather data on the burden of Huntington's disease from both the caregiver's perspective as well as the person with HD. So for the person with HD, it's more of a self-assessment kind of survey. And for the caregiver, it's more detailed because it's asking for information about the cost of out-of-pocket medications and other medical supplies. And really, there are some registers on, you know, how do you feel, how stressed do you feel as a caregiver, you know, how in control do you feel. So it's fairly comprehensive. we do ask, it is anonymous, let me start with that, but we do ask for both the city and state that you live in, as well as an email address. And the reason we're asking for those two pieces of information is, number one, we're hoping that the data we get can help us in future legislative efforts. So if we can show that, you know, HD...
need to have that information.
X amount, then maybe we can influence legislation. Because everybody would, well, what do you have to show me to show, say how much it costs, you know? That's really nice to shove something under somebody.
Show me the proof, right?
That's how much it costs.
Let me interrupt real quick. We're getting ready to go off the live portion of the show. We can continue to talk because there are some more questions I have. But I just want to thank everyone for joining us today, and this concludes the live portion of our show with Deborah Levecki, Director of Education Programs and Services at HDSA National. The website is hdsa.org. Please go there daily if you can. Thank you, Deborah, for a very informative show, and also thank you, Jane Kogan, for coming on and sharing some new exciting information. And you may email Deborah at dlevecki at hdsa.org, and we're off the air already. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to get that in.
We were so far.
For our live listeners.
Yes.
But the burden of cure surveys is really, really important because we need to have kind of a database of information, of statistics. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the email address that we're requesting is really if we have a question about a response that you gave so that we can really correlate it with everybody else's response. So that's all. We're not sharing that information with anybody. It simply is if we have a question about how you responded to something. The links for each of those are on the HDSA website. And it's a very long email address, so it probably is just better if you go to the HDSA website.
Right.
Get it because, you know, it would take too long to read it. But we have had, you know, in the 2 weeks it's been out, we've had about 400 people respond to the caregiver survey, and we've had about 200 people respond to the self-assessment for the person with HD. And we would love to be able to gather more responses. In Europe, they're doing it by on paper. So, you know, we have an online, which makes it a lot easier, and we're hoping that the whole HD community will kind of come together and really work on these two surveys so that we can give some really valuable information to Europe about what goes on in the HD and the U.S. healthcare system, but also from our perspective, how we can better help our families and what areas, you know, we really need to start addressing.
Can you put something on Facebook about this? Through your Facebook pages?
Sure. That's a really great idea. HDSA does have a Facebook page, so we will be sure to list that.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
I keep going back to that because I've just really found that the community, the HD community, is almost instantaneous. They're there at home. They're stuck, you know, in their homes probably because of weather too. But you know, they've got the computers and they've got their Skypes and they are talking with each other and communicating via Facebook and email and Skype, and you know they're really connected with each other on Facebook. So I keep going back to that. I know I'm probably sounding very redundant about that, but
I hadn't considered. So thank you. It's a great idea.
Good. Let's see what else. Oh, your newsletters. Are you going to be going digital with that?
Yes, our plan really is to stop printing as of October 1st. So those who think that the support group newsletter, We Are HDSA, is valuable really should be signing up for the electronic version. Up until October 1st, we'll be continuing to print, so you would probably get a print piece from your support group leader, but you'd also start to get the electronic version as well through the national office. So I hope that we can really spur people to start signing up because before you know it, October 1st will be here.
Right, and printing is very expensive, isn't it?
It is, and people have always told us that they want to get more online. So if we can create something that really has virtual space, it won't matter how many articles we have in a virtual newsletter. It can be as long or as short as we want it to be. So it really kind of frees us to be able to give a lot of very short articles and a couple of long ones, or, you know, longer ones that wouldn't fit on a four-pager.
Well, and also a direct link back to your website, which is really important.
That's
so keeping people literally in the loop is just really important, I think. Tell us about your diplomat program. What is that all about?
The diplomat program is an offshoot of our clinical trials education initiative. And last year, HDSA developed a workshop for our educational events that talked about clinical trials and why it's important to be a participant and, you know, what's going on in clinical trials. And we thought that one of the best ways that we could share information was by training people who have participated in clinical trials, whether they're the actual participant or the caregiver who has to go with the person with HD anyway, they're kind of quasi-participants, to talk about their experiences. Because there's nothing better than having a face and a voice of a person who has HD in their family talk about how wonderful it was to be part of this, how they felt empowered or positive or whatever it is, to convince others that they can do this too. And it doesn't take any special magic. It's just, you know, an interest in being part of the solution to Huntington's disease.
Right. And really, without clinical trials and people to go forward with that work, it's really work. We can't hope for a cure or for any further treatments or research because we won't have any data.
That's correct.
So we need people to contribute to that. You know, unfortunately, my son's not, he's not a candidate for clinical trials, but if he were, I know that we would be doing everything we can to kind of lay the roadwork for people coming up behind us. He's 31 now.
Well, there are some observational trials that he and you might be interested in. One of them is the cohort study, which is still up and running. Predict 2.0 is recruiting, and there is a new one coming out called Enroll HD, and that's really open to all family members as well as those who have HD. So there really is an opportunity for everybody in the community to participate in at least one or more observational studies.
I will check those out.
They don't fit into a clinical trial.
Right. Well, let's talk about Lundbeck. Now, you know, they've been very generous to help for HD with a charitable donation, which is helping us to stay broadcasting for a while. But they're doing so many other things, like their educational grants.
That's
correct. About that?
We were very fortunate that they provided HDSA with an unrestricted educational grant to help us to fund what we're calling field-based education programs. So those are programs that are offered by chapters, affiliates, support groups, centers of excellence. And we have an application process. Anybody who's interested in applying for a grant can contact me. I'll send you an application form as well as the other things that are required. We'd like to see what your program looks like and a budget for it, how you're going to spend the money and how much you're asking for. And this year, as part of the educational program itself, we want you to include the clinical trials workshop I just talked about, as well as an advocacy workshop that Jane developed with a group of volunteers that really kind of lays out the our advocacy efforts, and in particular, the Huntington's Disease Parity Act, so we can continue to build our grassroots base.
Right. Okay, now, you also, Lundbeck and you, HDSA, also support educational events.
Well, those are basically the educational grants we just talked about.
Okay, because last year when I contacted you guys for the symposium, the HDSA Santa Maria Symposium, and then I did a CME lecture on the same day, I was helped so much by you and Lundbeck with a grant for the expenses for the symposium. So that was very helpful. We ended up with a little over 100 people that day through all the events that day. And that's what gave us the people for our support group. We had, I think it was 15 people plus for the support group to start. And we had the symposium in May, and then in June we started our first support group, and we've been going strong ever since.
So, and that's a fantastic way to use the money.
That was through HGSA and LendSec, and it was just incredible how much you helped us. So can we talk about Seth Meyer? I hear you have a new addition to your team.
Yes, Seth is brand new. He started last week, and he'll be actually working on community-based services and helping us to develop our resources across the country. He'll be working with our social workers as well as our support groups and answering helpline calls and, as I said, really kind of adding to our resources in underserved areas. Email is smeyer@hdsa.org. So I encourage and invite all of you to send him an email of welcome to HDSA. And he's being trained right now, so be gentle with him and don't send him too many hard things.
Does he know that you're announcing this?
Yes, I told him that.
Okay.
So he's working his way in, but, you know,
welcome
to
Seth Meyer.
We are before we start inundating him with emails.
Everybody, welcome Seth Meyer. Well, is there anything else that you or Jane or is Fred in there with us today? Hi, Fred.
Hi, how are you, Melissa?
And as usual, I didn't let you talk. Did you
That's
have
okay.
anything
I think
you'd
I have
like
a
to add?
Coming up next week.
Yes, next week we're going to have another great show, March for HDSA. So I'm looking forward to that. And is there anything else anybody would like to add, Jane?
The only thing I would encourage people to do is, as you said, Melissa, really visit the HDSA website daily. There's so much going on every single day, and you really will find it to be an extraordinary resource that gets better and better with each month.
It really does. I'm amazed at how much information is going through that website, and I can't imagine how much space it's taking up, but with all that stuff going on. I think then we'll just wrap up the show, and I just thank all of you for coming on today and sharing everything that you're doing with HDSA. You're providing wonderful services and programs for all of our families, and I appreciate it. I know other people appreciate you too. So thank you, and we had a wonderful show, and we'll talk soon.
And thank you so much, Melissa,
thank you,
for
Melissa.
Giving us this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Have a great night.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.